I'm talking today with Dr. Tommy Mitchell, medical doctor and speaker at Answers in Genesis. Dr. Mitchell, thanks for talking with me today.
Oh, my pleasure.
I understand you were a theistic evolutionist who eventually became convinced that the Bible teaches the earth is young. I'd like to hear about that journey, but before that, would you mind telling me how you came to Christ in the first place?
Well, I did not grow up in a Christian home. When I was young, you know, I thought Sunday was just a day that my friends went to a building with a funny steeple on it and sang songs with these and thous. I just didn't understand what the whole thing was about. But through the influence of my best friend and his then-girlfriend, now wife, in, say, junior high and high school, I started attending church and came to understand that I was lost in need of a Savior, and I was saved when I was 17.
And at that time, what did you think about the Genesis creation account? I mean, did you give it much thought at first?
Actually, I didn't give it any thought at all, because I'd really, you know, not read the Bible at all before that time. And when I got saved, I started reading the Bible a little bit, mostly read the Gospels. You know, you read the book of John, the book of Romans, you read the Psalms, read the Proverbs. And as far as like sort of coordinated systematic Bible study, I just never did that. And very soon after I got saved, I was off to college. And in my undergraduate studies and pre-med studies, I really didn't spend any time in the Bible at all. And that's certainly to my shame at this point. And it really led to my belief system as a theistic evolutionist that led me astray for so many years.
You say it led you astray.
Well, the reason is because as an undergraduate, you know, in those days, I mean, you're taught evolution. I was in life sciences curriculum, and I was taught evolution. So I just thought, well, you know, God created, used evolution. And that's a very common compromised position that I run into as I, you know, speak for the ministry. So I really understand, you know, why people, you know, accept that compromise. But the reason I accepted it wasn't so much that I knew evolution. It was I just really didn't understand what Scripture had to say. And it was years later when I finally got into serious Bible study, I really began to read what God's Word had to say to me. And I came to understand that what God told me was not what I thought I understood as far as accepting an evolutionary worldview. Those two things really didn't fit together. You have to twist things around to make that worldview work. And I struggled with that for a number of years. So I was a theistic evolutionist for those years simply because I wasn't really in significant, serious, earnest Bible study.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask how you dealt with the contradictions between evolution and the Genesis account, but it sounds like you really didn't realize they were there for...
No. At that time, I just said, well, you know, all these, technically trained people, all these scientists told me that evolution was true, so, and I was genuinely saved, so, well, you know, okay, God created, used evolution, okay, I can just kind of let that, you know, kind of fit together, faith versus science, because that was the argument that they would use. You know, if you believe the Bible, that's faith, otherwise, you know, we're the real scientists. And they really didn't make a distinction between observational and historical science, which is an understanding I came to some years later, that there's a difference of, you know, the science that gives us our technology and the wonderful science that gives us our new rockets and computers and medical breakthroughs is different than storytelling about the past, you know, so-called historical or origin science, which can't be directly tested. So there's a difference. So at that time, I just said, okay, science, you know, says evolution's true, so somehow I've got to fit that into my thinking. And as far as contradictions in Scripture, it wasn't an issue for me because I really didn't think there were any. It was later when I really began to seriously read the Bible that I began to say, well, what about this? What about that? What about this? And this was years ago. It was before Answers in Genesis existed. And in those days, it was the Institute for Creation Research and the Creation Research Society. So, you know, there were some materials out, but not the amount of materials that we have today. So I read a lot of those materials to really try to understand or try to somehow resolve these things that I considered to be conflicts at the time, and I came to understand that there really weren't conflicts at all. I needed to have a different starting point.
Okay. You know, it seems that growing up with all these very intelligent, educated people telling you something different from what the Bible said, and apparently some, you know, saved people as well.
Sure.
Did you resist changing your viewpoint as a result of that? I mean, you know, this is a risky thing to do, or I've got to make it complete. Was there a problem like that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Because when I began to sort of consider this idea that the days in Genesis were real days, you know, that the millions of years, you know, really wasn't true, the first thing I thought was, well, you know, I'm a doctor. I've got all this scientific training. Am I going to have to give up all the science that I learned? Am I going to be I won't say a scientific heretic, but at the same time, do I have to give up all the science? But I came to understand there's a difference between observational science and historical science. You know, real science done in the present, it's observable, it's testable, it's repeatable. That's what I did. I mean, I brought to bear all my medical training and took care of my patients and hopefully did a good job. I didn't have to give up any of that. Because, I mean, I can do real science and accept what God's word says. The difference is, you know, so-called science says, you know, billions of years ago when molecules demand evolution, those things can't be tested. And that's accepted, but it's not really the same thing as the science that gives us our technology. So I struggled with that for a couple of years, and I found out I really didn't have to give up anything. Hmm. I can be a very adequate scientist and a good physician to my patients, but my starting point changed. I started looking at the world through, you know, biblical glasses, as we say here at Answers in Genesis. Rather than looking at the world through man's ideas, I started to look at the world through God's ideas.
So then I gather that once you overcame those objections, and I mean within yourself, you probably faced resistance from outside, from colleagues so on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The first opposition I faced was at church. Because as I really did, it took me several years to really work through a lot of these issues, in my own heart, my own mind. And a lot of the resistance I got were from people in my Sunday school class. You know, as I'd talk about these things, they would look at me like I had, you know, four eyes, that kind of thing. And as we began to talk about it, they began to kind of understand and accept what I was talking about, because I was able to give them answers to the questions that I had over those years. And then, you know, as I dealt with my colleagues and physicians at the hospital and even patients, certainly there was a lot of opposition, even to the point that some years ago when I left practice to join the ministry full time, I was actively opposed and vilified in some cases by some of my partners in the medical practice for, you know, wasting my life on what they call that nonsense. Even a few of my partners who were Christians who said, that's just nonsense, that Genesis stuff doesn't matter, you're throwing your education away, why are you doing this nonsense? The reason I do it is because it's foundational to what we understand. It's foundational to doctrines in Christianity.
So what was it that caused you to decide to leave medical practice to go full-time into this ministry?
Well, as I've said, this is such a life-changing sort of message. When I dealt with this issue years ago and really came to understand there were answers, it was the scriptures could be trusted. It was an amazing time for my wife and myself, and it impacted us in such a positive way that as time passed and I had the opportunity to speak locally and speak in local churches, that I really enjoyed doing that. And then as opportunities came to speak with Answers in Genesis, first as a part-time speaker and then later as full-time staff, I felt that's what the Lord would have us do. I mean, this is such a life-changing message that it was so important that I felt like I really needed to be here. And it wasn't that my medical practice wasn't important and my patients weren't precious to me. I mean, I love practicing medicine, and I still miss my patients every day. It's just in the final analysis, this is more important.
Would you say, I know you've talked about studying the Bible and coming to these conclusions, would you say there was any one particular tipping point or specific issue that, I mean, there are several young earth creation issues that,
oh,
I
sure.
mean, you've got the flood, you've got the Tower of Babel, mm-hmm. you've got specific things in the Genesis creation account itself. Mm-hmm. Was there any particular issue that gave you a lot of trouble or that kind of pushed you over the edge?
Well, what I call the aha moment. And I laugh when I say that, because as I've spoken at churches and talked to pastors over the years, very frequently they'll tell me or they'll have that aha moment too. For me, it was the issue of no death before sin. Hmm. You know, if the millions of years are true, if evolution's true, death has always been here. If the creation account is, in fact, true history, which it is, God created in 6 days. It was a perfect creation. There was no death. Death came as a result of man's disobedience. So if the millions of years are true, you've got death here for millions of years. It would be represented in the fossil record and the carnage you see in the fossil record. And if we evolve from ape-like creatures, you know, survival of the fittest, all those issues they talk about in an evolutionary worldview, then death has always been here. And for me, when I really started thinking about that seriously, that was the aha moment for me. Okay, the days have to be days. Otherwise, we have death before man's disobedience, which creates enormous problems, because if death has always been here, If man evolved from ape-like creatures, then Adam and Eve are a myth. If Adam and Eve are a myth, there's no original sin. If there's no original sin, why did Jesus go to the cross? Now, that's not a salvation issue. I don't mean to put it that way, because I would say when I was 17, but it's a biblical authority issue, because the whys of the cross are in Genesis. You know, why do we need a Savior? Why are we sinners? You know, where did death come from? It's because of man's disobedience. So the aha moment for me was no death before sin. That was the thing that finally said, okay, now I get it. And then I had to, you know, lots of questions. As you know, we work with a ministry called Answers in Genesis, so we have lots of those answers. And, you know, what about the flood? Where did the water come from? What about the different varieties of creatures? Well, all that was filling in the blanks. But the thing that tipped me over, if you want to put it that way, was the no death before sin.
Now, you mentioned that friends and colleagues ridiculed you. Did you encounter beyond the struggles of working with people who thought you were wasting your intellect, did you find actual professional problems as a result of that?
No, not really, because the practice I was in, you know, I started in a 3-man practice, and when I left practice to join the ministry a few years ago, we were up to 15 doctors in the group, and I, you know, pretty much had my own group of patients and took care of them and sort of did my thing every day. So I had some colleagues that didn't really quite understand why I believed what I believed, but it didn't really limit what I did. I mean, I had patients who changed doctors because they said they just, you know, didn't understand why I believed such what they call wacky things. But at the same time, I had patients that switched from some of my other partners over to me as their primary doctor because of my stance on this issue. So, I mean, you know, there's pluses and minuses, but it wasn't like I was, you know, denied a promotion or didn't serve on certain committees at the hospital. I was there taking care of sick people, and I hope I did a good job doing that, and hopefully my colleagues respected my abilities as a physician. And I don't recall my young earth stance really limiting me in any way in that sense. I mean, there were a lot of discussions in the doctor's lounge and, you know, in the break room at the office, but as far as not being able to serve on this committee or not being able to do this or that, I really can't say that had any effect.
Mm. Yeah, well, we often point out, like you've pointed out, the historical versus operational science, that it shouldn't make a difference, particularly in a profession like medicine. You get a more forensic profession like paleontology or something like that, I can see where. So it's good to hear that in your case, at least, there was some reason on the side or reasonable responses from people who disagreed with you.
The majority of my colleagues, both in my practice and physicians I worked with at the hospital, are evolutionists. I mean, I was for a long time. People always say to me, well, you know, how could a doctor look at the human body and its marvelous complexity and think it happened by chance? Well, the reason that doctors accept evolution is because that's what they're taught. And then they're out in practice taking care of sick people, and it doesn't really come into play. I mean, I've asked doctors for years, I mean, show me an example where evolution has any effect on what you actually do to take care of sick people, and they never can give me an example. So that's their worldview. They've accepted it in most cases because they just don't think about it. It doesn't come into play every day. So if you can get physicians to kind of step back and think about why they believe that, you get some very interesting questions. But it's just because this is what I've been taught, this is the basis of biology, then they go on to take care of sick people because that's what they do during the day. The kidney's not working. If it evolved or something, is irrelevant. It's just not working. You're trying to keep grandma alive. So,
yeah.
But that was the way I was able to at least open some discussions with some of my colleagues. Why do you believe that? Give me a reason why you believe it other than just I was taught that.
So it sounds like, I mean, obviously this opened up a lot of opportunities to share the gospel with your colleagues. You started out pretty much by reminding us that you don't need to be a young earth creationist to be a Christian.
That's right.
How would you say that what changes have you seen in your, I don't know, in your walk with God, your general Christian life as a result of taking, I'll say taking that extra step, if you will, from going from old earth belief in God to young earth creationism?
Well, I think in a lot of ways I'm a much more effective witness because I'm more confident that I have answers. Because when you go out in the world today, I mean, the world basically says the Bible's a book of myths, fables, fairy tales, and the world asks lots of the questions that I had years ago when I really came to understand the Genesis account was real history. You know, whether it's about dinosaurs or distant starlight or chimp DNA, those kind of questions. And I'm not afraid to go out and witness to people as much as I used to be, because I was afraid, well, what if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? I'm a bolder witness because I'm much more confident, because I am equipped better. I can go out and defend my faith better than I could before, because the world uses lots of these issues to show that, that Christians are inconsistent or hypocritical or whatever. Well, I'm a bolder witness because of this. And when you can answer the world's skeptical questions, it gives you an opportunity to share the gospel.
And would you say that there's, you've added boldness, mm-hmm. Which stands to reason. As far as your own personal relationship, how has with God again? How has that been affected? I mean, witness is part of that, obviously. But.
Well, the thing is, you're just confident simply because if you're a theistic evolutionist, for example, when you read a passage in Scripture, is this allegory? Is this real history? Do I have to reinterpret this to fit what man has told me? Well, see, I don't have to do that anymore. Because I can, if something's written as history, I take it as history. If something's written as poetry, it's allegory, because there are different literary styles in Scripture. But I'm much more confident. When I read through God's Word, I know I can defend it, but I'm confident that God's Word's true from the very first verse. I don't have to twist the words around to make it fit my preconceived notions. So, again, I'm bolder. I'm more confident. I think my worship is more earnest now because I really do have that confidence. I can take God at His word. What He told me in His word is true, and there are answers to those skeptical questions.
Okay, so that same confidence, that same boldness that helps you reach out to others, gives you confidence in the Scripture itself as you apply it to your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it was when I really dealt with this years ago, and my wife at the same time, it was a life-changing issue for us because I think we're bolder Christians. I think we're more effective in sharing our faith simply because we're more confident because we do have answers. We don't have to compromise the Word of God or reinterpret certain passages to make it fit, what we want it to say. We accept God's word as what it says, and we know there are answers for those questions.
Well, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
Been encouraging, that to be reminded of the boldness, the confidence that we can have in the truth and the authority of God's word. And I appreciate your spending the time with me this morning.
Oh, my pleasure.